the Washington Capitals.
Rich is in the... Rich just loves other people's misery.
I do. I've suffered plenty of my own, so I like... what's the old saying? Misery loves company?
Oh, yes. That's true for you.
Joined now by Dan Steinberg of the Washington Post. And Dan, it's been too long. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, I identify you guys as the sports line, but the producer said ESPN Radio Virginia, and I got confused. And I said yes. So I didn't even realize it was you guys. I would have found a way to... weasel my way out of the other one.
See, that's why you're smart, man. That's why you're smart. You got to get out of these conversations. But
I'm supposed to be buying a washer dryer this afternoon.
Are you really? Little combination? You going with the front load or the top load?
Well, I have like a very narrow and particularly space, and so it's going to be one of those like where they're actually attached together.
The other combos, yeah.
Yep. I don't know what the phrase for that is, but I think that it has to be like front loaded.
Gotcha. Well, good luck with that. That's always I was going to say that's a fun purchase, but it's not like buying a new TV or something.
Not particularly fun. No.
Yeah, expensive. Just an expensive way to wash clothes.
What if bring back the clothesline or something?
You know, I've seen some of those recently.
Clotheslines?
Yeah, people, you know, they install clotheslines and they're hanging their clothes out there. It feels like the 1970s again.
I was going to say, we have to be fully disclosed and say we live in Southern Virginia, not Northern Virginia. A little bit different culture down here, Dan.
Well, Ed was just talking about all 24 of his teeth.
No, I think clotheslines, it makes sense. I mean, the sun is a natural heating agent, right? Why pay money for electricity when the sun can do it for you?
There you go.
I'll look into that, thanks.
There you go.
I'm going to suggest it to my wife when she gets home.
Judge. And then you could get out the washboard too. You could just send her down to the river to do the wash. She'll love that.
Yeah, I don't think that's a.
What about the Caps? I mean, you know, it's so hard to not say here we go again, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's. They haven't played well, and they're the best team in the league the last 2 years, and they had a chance to take control of the series, certainly on Saturday, but even more so maybe yesterday when they're winning by two goals, and they have a 5-on-3 for a full 2 minutes, and they didn't do it. On the other hand, I mean, we've seen what's happened with the Blackhawks and what's happened with the Wild. The NHL playoffs are just weird. If you look at, you know, the Caps versus the Leafs over the last 2-plus months of the season, they're weren't that many standings points that differentiated them. If you look at this series, all three games have gone into overtime, and once the game is in overtime, it's pretty much a coin flip. And if they were up 2-1, you know, they would have kept home ice advantage. So I could see it both ways. I'm never going to try to convince a Caps fan who has seen one playoff disappointment after another that they shouldn't be terrified and miserable right now. I think those are natural reactions, but I also think that there's every chance they could come back and win this series if you can kind of separate yourself from the horrible history.
You referenced that Dan Steinberg at DC Sports Blog to follow him on Twitter, and he joins us here on the Sports Line. You referenced that if you can separate the past collapses, especially for Capitals fans, what are the elements to this team that you've noticed that should give Capitals fans maybe, you know, pause to reconsider that they're season's about to go up in smoke again?
Well, I mean, I think what's interesting, maybe, especially last night, the guys who played well are the guys who have been here for a while, the Ovechkins and the Backstroms. The guys who didn't show up were the newest guys, like Lars Eller and Brett Connolly and Kevin Shattenkirk. You know, Kevin Shattenkirk has been here for 3 months. He didn't play well last night, but it wasn't because of what happened with the Capitals in the 80s or the 90s. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, the way the fans react is going to be based on those things. But if you look at what the team did this year, and again, you know, over the last 3 months, Toronto was really strong too, but if you look at what the Caps did this year, they were, the, you know, pretty clearly the best team in the NHL. They had good goaltending, they had good power play, a good penalty kill, a good offense, a good defense. You know, they're a little bit banged up with Carl Osner right now, and he maybe would have helped on the penalty kill, which cost them there right at the, early in the overtime period. I don't even know if it wound up being a power play goal or not, because it was right at the end of that power play. But, you know, he would have helped them in a situation like that. But, yeah, I think they still have more talent than the Leafs. Maybe it's not a tremendous amount more, but they won more games than any other team this year for a reason. And if you look at what they've done over the past 2 years, you know, they were pretty clearly better. People might say that Mike Babcock right now is out-coaching Barry Trotz, and, you know, maybe Trotz can find an edge here going into game four. It just seems like the more times these teams play, the team with more talent, slightly more talent maybe, should come out ahead eventually.
But hockey's one of those things, right? And we were having this conversation just the other day about in which sport does the regular season mean the least? And, you know, I think we came to the conclusion pretty unanimously, right, that it was hockey. Do you agree with that? The regular season in hockey probably means less than any other sport, or no?
Yeah, no question. Okay. I think probably home court, home ice advantage matters least in the NHL playoffs, which, you know, you play 82 games to get that one seed and to get that home ice advantage, and then, you know, so often you see that it doesn't really count for all that much. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't know what more you can want the Capitals to do, though, than to be the best team in the regular season. You don't want them to be less good in the regular season. And, you know, I think last year there was some concern that maybe they weren't peaking heading into the playoffs, that they weren't at their best. This year they had a little bit of a down spell a little bit earlier in the spring, but by the end of the season they were back destroying people. And the last time they played Toronto, which was only like 15 days ago or something, they just manhandled them up there and looked clearly better. So, we've seen in the past that President's Trophy winners lose in the first round and don't win the Stanley Cup, and there's no question about that. But I just think if you ask me, would you rather have the team that did better in the regular season or the team that did worse, I would still probably take the team that did better.
Yeah, I was just thinking, though, that considering the Caps' history, that the better they do, and again, you don't want them to do poorly in the regular season, but with that one seed and with that President's Trophy comes a whole lot more expectations and probably pressure on a franchise that really has struggled of late in the in the postseason. And the last thing you probably need now is more pressure. Although, you know, I mean, is it just fans, or do players feel this as well? I mean, do the guys on the team, are they worried about this history, this recent history of no success in the playoffs?
I mean, they're telling you that they're not. Of course they tell you that they're not, but they also realize that it's going to be a story as long as they don't succeed. I would say what's interesting with this series is especially historically, the rap against the Caps in the playoffs has been that they choke when they're up, that they blow series leads, especially that 3-1 series lead that they've lost so many times. This is a little bit different. They're actually down now, and if anything, I think maybe others disagree, but I think this might take the pressure off them a little bit, because people are counting them out now, down 2-1, when, you know, there's been a total difference of one goal scored out of these three games. So, I've been wondering whether, in a way, this lets them play a little bit more free now that it seems like people are counting them out. I was just reading some of the stuff that's being said in Canada today, and they think that the Caps have beaten themselves and are like ready to be put away by the Maple Leafs. Maybe that's true. I'm not convinced the same way. And I think that, like I said, the pressure on them has been when they have these series leads and they can't close people out. We started to see that last year in the first round against the Flyers when they were up 3-0 and then they lost 2 games. Everyone started panicking. They're doing it again. I don't know if you can say they're doing it again when they go down 2-1, because that just hasn't been the historical. That hasn't been what's cost them, I guess.
Dan Steinberg with us here at DC Sports Blog. To follow him on Twitter, that's BOG. To follow him on Twitter, Dan, for your looking at this team, especially Ovechkin, who scored and has been a part of this, is this the time where it's okay and reasonable to expect that he can be the player that lifts Washington through that and puts this team on his back?
I mean, I don't think it's unfair. I think that when you're the face of the franchise and you're a MVP, past MVP winner, and you're the best goal scorer of your generation, I think it's hard to put too many expectations on a guy like that. But I also think that if you look at his history in the playoffs, he's been one of the most successful goal scorers in the modern game. He performs in the playoffs. Now, maybe it's not always in the overtime, or maybe it's not, you know, a game 7 game winner, but he has shown up. And I think that if anything, maybe you want to give him some more ice time. That's been a, you know, kind of a hot topic today, whether he needs to be on the ice more than he was in Game 3. Because if they lose the series, he's going to get criticized more than anyone else. Him and Barry Trotz are going to wear the brunt of this. And so I think the theory is if he's going to have to wear that, then you might as well give him a chance to do everything that he can rather than give him 15 or 16 minutes of ice time, which is what he got last night. But, you know, I think ultimately, if I look at this series so far, I'm not looking at Ovechkin. I'm looking maybe especially at the third line, which was such a revelation earlier in the season and was such a problem for them in last year's postseason against the Penguins, where you said they just don't have a third line that can compete with the Penguins' third line. This year it seems that they did, and now they're not really getting the production from those secondary scorers. You know, it's only three games. You don't want to make too many grand pronouncements. But I think, if anything, right now, that's what I would be concerned about more than Ovechkin.
Dan Steinberg joining us here on the Sports Line. If there was one thing that you could drill into the mind of the Caps fans who are freaking out right now, what would it be?
Like I said, I don't know that I have any. I mean, there's people who have gone through 43 years of this, and certainly the last 20 or 25 years of it has been just so many painful experiences in April. I'm not going to tell them that they shouldn't experience every side of emotion that they might be experiencing right now. You know, I mean, I guess you'd like to tell, if you could kind of take a step back, you'd like to tell people, save your fury and your anguish and your misery for when they actually get eliminated, because it's maybe like a waste of emotional reserves to use it all up down 2-1 in the first round. But again, like I said, they've gone through a lot of really painful experiences, and if they, I'm not going to tell people that they shouldn't be feeling that. I have thought, though, it's possible that they could turn this series around, and, you know, the Penguins would be a stiff test in the next round. But beyond that, especially with what's happening in Chicago and Minnesota and, you know, maybe the Rangers, you could still see a scenario where they chase after that Stanley Cup. And it would be kind of funny if that happened to look back and remember just how miserable people were feeling on this day, you know, a couple weeks from now.
The Wizards, their success. Game 1 winners. They have Game 2 tomorrow night against the Hawks. Pretty good regular season again, and a good core with Beal and Wall and company. Any solace for the D.C. area sports fans with what the Wizards have done lately, or are they still, you know, a little bit more of an afterthought because it's, you know, kind of a recent trend of success versus the Capitals at least having a good base of success this time of year?
I think it's part of that. I think partly people are more invested in the Capitals because of, you know, the 10 straight years or, you know, 9 out of 10 playoff appearances. I think partly the NBA does itself no favors in the first round by spreading out these games so much. I think, for me, it's hard to get as invested in a series when you play Sunday, then take 2 days off, then play Wednesday and take 2 days off, then not play again until Saturday. I mean, like, this entire Cap series could be over in the span of time that it takes the Wizards to play 3 games. But, you know, I think the Wizards should handle the Hawks. You never want to get ahead of yourself in D.C. sports, but I think the Wizards should win that series. And then I think that they could give the Celtics or possibly even the Bulls everything that they want in the second round. And, you know, Washington sports fans have been just dying for a team to go on a legitimate postseason run. And I think if the Wizards do that, the excitement will grow pretty rapidly. So I don't know that they have the same, you know, fervent base that the Capitals do right now, but I think that it could get pretty exciting if they do what they're capable of. I have some concerns about the way that they played down the stretch and about especially their defensive effort. And I guess I don't know if beating the Hawks will solve those concerns for me. But I think, I mean, at this point, they seem like a better bet to get to the second round than the Cavs, which is kind of amazing.
Dan Steinberg joining us here on the Sports Line. Dan, we will let you go. I know you have some shopping to do for that washer-dryer combo unit. But we appreciate your time as always, and we will look forward to catching up again and maybe getting an update on how that's working for you.
Sounds good. I'll see if they've got clotheslines and washboards at Best Buy.
Thank you, Dan. See ya.
I can see ya.